September 18, Jesus says, I said yesterday, you make destiny for yourselves. I now add, you make destiny for yourselves. But when one does the will which the Father proposes to one, one is sure to make for oneself a destiny of light, whereas when one closes one's ears, and eyes so as not to hear, and not to see the will of the Father, and closes one's soul to the love which leads to obedience, following not the voice of the Spirit, but that of flesh and blood, prodded on by Satan, one creates for oneself a destiny of darkness whose end is the death of the Spirit. Now, if you reflect on the fact that in your lives the one who loves, be it a son or daughter, brother or sister, husband or wife, pupil, subordinate, or whoever, always seeks to content the person loved, you can easily grasp that those who love God greatly follow God's desires, whatever they may be. Those who love Him little follow them less, and follow only those desires which do not cost them too much effort. Finally, those who do not love Him at all, do not follow Him at all in the wishes of His holy will, but, rather, rebel, flinging themselves onto the path leading to the antipodes of the goal God counsels, and draw away from the Father, cursing Him. It could thus be concluded, without fear of error, that the extent to which creatures love their Creator is measured by the extent to which they are able to obey the wishes of their Lord and Father. Those who say they love God, and are then unable to follow His voice, which speaks to them lovingly, to lead them into His dwelling, are lying. And who do they want to deceive with their lie? God? God is not deceived. Your words have their real meaning, and not the one you give them, and that real meaning is understood by God. Now, if you say you love the Lord, and then refuse Him obedience, which is one of the basic proofs of love, He can only call you hypocrites and liars, and treat you as such. Do you perhaps want to deceive Satan, by taking advantage of the comfortable arrangements for conscience which he suggests to you, and at the same time, indicate to him, that you want enjoyment in this life, but also in the other life, temporizing between God and Satan, between heaven and hell? O fools! The crafty one is not deceived, and, less patient than God, demands immediate compensation, and must be paid at once, for he does not agree to any delay, and in truth I tell you, that his yoke is not a wing, but a heavy boulder which crushes and sinks into the slime and the darkness. Do you perhaps want to deceive yourselves by telling yourselves, that it is only an earthly necessity which spurs you to do your will, but that at heart you would like to do God's, because you prefer it? Hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. And you is a judge that knows no sleep, and it is your spirit. Even if you mortally wound it, and condemn it to perish, it cries out in you, as long as you are on this earth, shouting its heavenly anguish. You weigh it down, and gag it to make it immobile and mute, but it tosses, and turns until getting free of your gag, and hurls its cry into the desolate silence of your hearts. And, like the cry of my forerunner, that voice is so vexing for you, that you try to squelch it forever. You will never be able to. As long as you live, you will hear it, and in the hereafter it will shout louder, reproaching you for your crime as killers of your souls. The key to certain human aberrations which grow and grow, and lead the individual to monstrous misdeeds lies in this voice of conscience, which you try to numb with new bounds of ferocity, just as people who have taken poison try to forget their deliberate misfortune, by poisoning themselves more and more, to the point of hebetude. Be sons and daughters, my creatures. Love, love our good Father who is in heaven. Love Him as much as you can. It will then be easy for you to follow His blessed will, and make yourselves a destiny of eternal glory. I, who have loved Him to perfection, contented Him to the point of the sacrifice of my divinity which for 33 years exiled itself from the heavens, and of my life, destroyed by the most atrocious martyrdom of flesh, mind, heart, and spirit. My mother who was second to me in being able to love, and who loved with every perfection possible for a creature, for, let it be said incidentally, and in reply to an objection which was made to you. Mary possessed the fullness of every virtue and attribute, always and naturally as a creature perfect, but still a human creature, having in herself the fullness of grace, that is, possessing God as only she has possessed Him. It is obvious that her perfection reached heights inferior only to those of God. Well then, Mary, who was second to me in being able to love, adhered to God's will to the point of the sacrifice of her vocation, which was to devote herself exclusively to the contemplation of God, and of her heart, which she was asked for by God, so that it would be crushed. Mary's divine maternity is the living proof of her adherence to the will of God. I, the son who did not remove the mother's whiteness as an inviolate lily, am the testimony to Mary's compliance with God's wishes. She defied the world's opinion and her husband's judgment, in addition to embracing her scaffold as mother of the Redeemer, without hesitating. With the guarantee that God did not reject the gift of her whiteness, she uttered the loftiest fiat declared by mortal lips and felt no fear. Her strength was God, and to Him, she entrusted her honor, her future, everything, without reserve. These are your models. Mary and I follow us, and you will make yourselves a destiny which God desires for every creature of His. Follow us, and you will possess peace, for you will possess God, who is peace, and will feel the well-being of your spirits. The Beatitudes I have proclaimed are already possessed by you, beginning on this earth, if you do the will of your Father. Later, in heaven, they will be 70 times greater because nothing, then, will block your being incorporated into God.